Welcome to the Blackout Show, presented by The Guillen Grid, a show about the Chicago White Sox baseball, the good, the bad, the ugly. We'll debate what's working and what's not on the south side of Chicago. It's old school versus new school baseball. And most importantly, we're keeping all the receipts.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the show. It's both Justin and I tonight, and we have a guest coming on here really soon here. But Jay, Merry Rockmas. We've got a couple news from Scott Merkin about the winter meetings that we want to get through really quickly. And let me throw up the first one with essentially Noah Schultz is in good health, recovering from his knee surgery and looking like, you know, where the knee currently is. Not too much detail on it, and that's okay. But he should be a full go in spring training, which is everything you need to hear for Noah Schultz. The next one is Braden Montgomery. At some point looking like he'll be up this upcoming season and potentially breaking camp with the Sox following spring training, if it comes down to it. But we all know how the contract details can come, you know, later. Probably he'll probably come later in April, depending on how spring training goes. And last but not least, looks like we might have a new closer signing potentially soon.
Hey, y'all maybe better hope this don't happen. If the White Sox get Fairbanks, it's Big Pete. Let's go.
But anything from that, Justin? Out of those three things,
I'm gonna give you a little fish food for all three. Number one, with Noah Schultz, the last part of what he said, we're anticipating he'll be full go in spring training. That's the key, because this is still a young pitcher getting molded into what he's gonna be as far as his starting tenure with the White Sox. Now, we do have a tendency to bring guys out the bullpen first or whatever, but at the end of the day, if he doesn't have a foundation, meaning that base, that knee is going to be the tell into how many innings that I'm going to give him. The fact that if you're not worried about it and he's going to be full go for spring training, I could care less. From what I just read, he's not really hurt and we're expecting business as usual. That's on Noah Schultz. Number two, I mean, Braden Montgomery next year, Gonzo? Is this a dream? Like, he literally told me that. Usually they don't really lay it out for me like that. Remember, I'm a casual fan, okay? Yeah. I'm a casual fan. But they don't usually tell me that information. Now, you just spilled it out with him about the contract situation, to where that's probably why he's not going to break camp with the team.
Can I get that extra year of control?
Yeah, you know how this game goes. Now, if that's the case, I mean, sure, because at least the White Sox know they're ready to make a decision.
Right.
And they're methodical in how they handle him. And if Braden Montgomery pans out, Gonzo, you better apologize to my GM.
Well, he's my number one prospect right now, so yeah. I hope that is the case. Yeah. And if he does hit camp well, you might see a contract extension breaking camp, you know.
Remember,
we saw it last year with Christian Campbell. Go ahead.
Yeah, look, check this out, right? With Braden Montgomery, we're in the same position as the Chris Dale for Yoan Moncada trade. Mm-hmm. just put Brayden Montgomery in the value bracket of Yoan Moncada. Literally, if Brayden Montgomery pans out, that means the organization fixed one of the biggest fucking blemishes of the last 10 years, is not getting the best out of Yoan Moncada outside of 2019. Brayden Montgomery, if he pans out, that'd be a good fucking story and a good trade for the White Sox. Number three, now, this is the fantasy GM in me. All right. We were out over the show before we started recording. I was just saying that that Merck news in regards to Pete Fairbanks, that'll probably keep me from overpaying for Kyle Finnegan, because if you look at the White Sox bullpen right now, Grant Taylor is the only one that's really guaranteed high leverage. You got Jordan Leisure, Mike Vassell, who had a decent year for us last year. You can't guarantee him as the closer too. I believe the White Sox need a veteran high leverage arm just to get some of that inning debris, because you don't want to run these guys out of gas, and it's June 19th. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to be on the market for relievers just because you need somebody to cover the innings. No, solve that problem right now. I feel like, and Pete Fairbanks is the type of guy, he's a workhorse. If he's ready out the pen, like that's a guy that's how you set the hierarchy. That's how you set the fucking standard. This is what the ninth inning should look like. Peter Fairbanks. And if the White Sox do that, I think it'll be beneficial. So good news on Schultz. Even better news on Montgomery, because if I see him this year, I'm going ham. And then just give me my fantasy closer, Pete Fairbanks. Just give me that. Yep. Please, as a fan, you owe me. White Sox, you owe me.
And we'll get to both sides of this news going forward in our 2026 outlook coming up later in the show. Tonight's guest is Baseball on Stitches' very own analytical guru / Eastern Tennessee State University's very best, Jackson Scudder.
How we doing?
What up?
Let's, as we're breaking the cherry tonight with you, let's just jump right into it, my guy. We're going to begin with, considering the White Sox have the number two pick with the Rule 5 draft coming up on Wednesday, I believe it is. We're going to go through a top five selection that should be there for them. I'll let you take it away now and give us what you got.
Yeah, I mean, last year, White Sox hit it out of the park here. Shane Smith was an awesome pick for him. This year, I think everything I'm hearing, it's almost certainly going to be a pitcher or two. I think you all would agree with that. Potentially bullpen arm. The first name that came to mind was Detroit right-handed pitcher R.J. Petit, 26 years old. This guy is like 6'6", 300 pounds. He is a hoss. Last year across Double-A and Triple-A in the Detroit's bullpen, in Detroit's minor league bullpen, 2.44 ERA, struck out 10 guys per nine, low walks, low home runs, slider, had a 42% whiff rate in Triple-A last year. I mean, this guy seems like he's going to be a good bullpen arm. I'd really like him.
Yeah, no, I remember seeing a little talk.
Get him going downhill. It's over with. I bet you he probably, on his Avant page, it's like dead red with that extension. You know,
yeah.
The pitcher's extension, that shit is probably bloodshot red right now.
Yeah.
Go ahead and rock through a couple more, or give me at least your top five in full, and then yeah, I'll probably add a name or two as well. But go ahead.
Yeah, next one is in the Atlanta system, Blake Burkhalter, another right-handed pitcher. In the bullpen, started a little bit last year, 3.32 ERA in the minors, has a really good fastball profile, gets a lot of ride on it. And then north-south guy has a big curveball off of it. Another guy keeps the ball in the park a lot, strikes out a good amount of guys. I think he could be a potential swing guy for the White Sox right away. Help get some starts in the rotation, helping the bullpen a little bit. The next guy I have is Boston lefty Hayden Mullins, another pitcher. This is a guy who's only made it to Double-A, but last year between High and Double-A, 2.21 ERA, struck out 11 guys per nine. Low to mid-90s lefty, electric stuff. He's 16th in their system. I really like Hayden Mullins.
Let me ask you. Compare Hayton to Peyton Toll and early for the Red Sox as far as like where they are, because those guys obviously young kids, left-handed, still raw. How far is Mullins away from those guys?
He was an older guy when he was drafted out of college. I think he's a little far away from them. I think the reason, like I said, he's only been up to Double-A, so he's more of a project pick than a couple of other guys I have on here. Mm-hmm. But the stuff is awesome with him. He's another bigger guy. I think he's a little bit further away. He has some command problems as well. I mean, there's a reason he's in the Rule 5 that he has some command problems. But, yeah, I really like him. I think he has probably some of the higher upside. I think most of the guys you're getting in the Rule 5 are probably just lower upside guys that can help. I think Mullins has upside to be a top-end rotation guy.
Okay.
Next two guys I got, this one, Jose Rodriguez and the Dodger system. This is a guy that might not be a fun guy to watch pitch. He walked 6 guys per 9 last year in AAA, but struck out 14 guys per 9 out of the bullpen. His changeup had a 66% whiff rate in AAA last year, which is absolutely unreal. This is a guy that just gets a ton of whiffs, has a good sinker at 95 to 98, really good arm, just 24 years old as well. The numbers weren't awesome last year, but like I said, struck out 14 guys per 9, has potential to be like a high leverage guy. And I included one bat as well. I doubt they take a bat, but I wanted to throw one in there. And this is a Rangers Cameron Cawley, a 22-year-old, one of the younger guys in the Rule 5. He's a utility guy, which I think would be a nice potential bench guy for the White Sox. And in Double-A last year, hit 15 home runs, stole 28 bases, played outfield and infield for him. Hit 253, 325, 488, walks 10% of the time. Like I said, good versatility, has some good speed. I think that'd be a decent option as well.
Mm-hmm. Where did he mostly play in the in, or where was most of his reps at? Was it third base? Was it?
I believe it was middle infield. I could be wrong there, but most of this, I saw him mostly listed as like second base, shortstop, outfield. So I believe he can pretty much play almost anywhere. He was kind of the one guy that I thought could be a good fit for the White Sox.
And how old is he?
22. He's the youngest one I said.
So, and you get the idea, because look at who's probably going to get some outfield reps for the White Sox and volume, Brooks Baldwin. So him being an athletic switch hitting player, you might want to replace that profile. Your guy from the Rangers could be a nice cheap avenue to see, hey, maybe we could strike gold again. You already hit the lottery with Shane Smith. You're sending people to the All-Star game in the Rule 5. You know what I'm saying? So who knows what that avenue can be for you going forward.
Yeah, so currently at the moment, the White Sox have 34 guys rostered on their 40 men, so they got 6 spots to play with. So you can imagine probably they'll go 2 of those rounds with the Rule 5 to add. And you got that second selection, so if you're going to put, you know, a position player in there, I could see that first pick being it, you know, that second pick being an arm. Real quick, Jackson, before I go, was that all that you had at least listed?
Yeah, those are the 5 I had put down, the 5 I had written down.
I'm trying to remember. I know Coley. I'm trying to think who else you said there. I know Coley for sure was one of the guys I had listed in, on the Twitter post I put last week. I know a lot. And Rodriguez, I remember seeing his name on the Dodgers system, eligible, and that was a very good call. The 3 guys that I'm keen in on that I didn't list from that, you know, that post I made, I'll start with the star pitcher that I feel like could be a good maybe caliper, I want to say Talon, but could be the equivalent of a Shane Smith's journey, and that would be Phillies right-hander. He's 6'2", 190, fifth round pick, Griff McGrary. Mm-hmm. He had 83 innings pitched, a 3.44 ERA, 35% K rate, and a 1.2 whip. I think he's probably your best. He's got the best stuff of any, you know, starter caliber out there. And I wouldn't be shocked if he would be that arm that they would take. Also,
now remember, Gonzo, we still got guys like Tanner McDougal, Mason Adams, that's going to have to get some innings too. I kind of want the White Sox to get a little bit of more, get more depth starting pitching wise, but I don't want them to like exhaust to the point to where I only get a sliver of what I could possibly see from those guys.
The thing is there's going to be so many innings to eat up that even today they said that they're going to add another arm to this potential list going into the season. So it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to do. But the second arm I'm going to bring up is Miami's writer. I think this would be a pen guy though, but he's right-handed out of, from Miami. He's 6'2", 225, third round pick from Coastal Carolina, Zach McCambly. 62 innings pitched, 2.9 ERA, 1.1 whip, 33% K rate. And he's a stuff guy too. And then
What we got here? We got cutters.
Cutter, slider, four seam, sinker, curve, change.
So that's all three arm side. That's three different levels of arm side he's showing you too.
He mostly throws that cutter, slider, you know, fastball, that three pitch mix. But he does have a little of that sinker, curve, change. He can dip from time to time.
So like, his slider, the cutter, and the curveball. That's all moving away from a right-handed hitter, right? He's gonna have to use that sinker to absolutely get on their knuckles, because at a certain point people are gonna sit on that outer third, not because you're hitting the corner out there, because that's where your stuff is breaking, that's your hot zone where you're grabbing strikes. So the fact that I love the fact that he's throwing a changeup too, because I'm not gonna lie, Gonzo, I'm a C plus pitcher in the weekend league that I play in the summertime. C plus at best. I could get a lot of easy quick outs using a curveball and a changeup, because you're out in front. You're not going to generate a lot of power being out ahead of the baseball. If you're behind the baseball, you could force it. If you're a right-handed hitter, you could force it to right field being late, and you could hit it on the line still. If you're out in front, you're going to have that Frank Thomas hang time, that Albert Pujols hang time to fucking stay behind and drive the ball, bro.
And the third player I had in mind is a hitter, outfielder, Yohendrick Peningo. Jackson, did you have anything on Peningo? I know I didn't message you on him. That's just a name that I was intrigued by and want to know if you had any interest in him as well.
I came across the name, didn't really look a whole lot into it. Like I said, I saw Coley pretty early on in the research process, and I thought that was an awesome fit. So that was just kind of – I kind of saw him and just kind of stopped really looking for
it. I agree, especially for an infielder. I love Coley, so I wouldn't be shocked. And, again, he's a guy I put on that post for a reason, because a guy that I actually believed in. He broke out in spring training of 24, if I remember right. But yeah, great. But yeah, Peningo, he had a 80% contact rate and crazy AVs as well. So, and he's a lefty as well. So, I'd be interested in him.
Who would you compare him to in the league, Gonzo?
Peningo? Oh, dude. I'm not a comp guy. I'm not a comp guy.
A left-handed infielder, a lot of contact.
No. He's an outfielder.
Oh, an outfielder?
Yes, outfielder.
So what, like Stephen Kwan?
Yeah, that makes sense.
With more pop.
What's more pop, like 20 home runs in major league season?
Yeah.
Or more?
I would say that. Let me see. One of the guys in Just Baseball Media, they posted about it. I'm trying to find if they got any comps.
I don't know, man, because I'm not going to lie. The White Sox need OPS. They could use the walks, but they could definitely use the slug. Like, they're still in a position to where that both of those elements probably won't come outside the organization. So we're going to have to develop hitters, to be honest with you.
Someone said his swing reminds them of Willie or Abreu's. But that's kind of where we're at, you know, with what we were saying with about 20-ish. But yeah, that's what I got for Rule 5, guys. And hopefully the Sox can go, you know, another 2-for-2. That would be great with this rebuild that they got going here. All right, that breaks our Rule 5 conversation. Or do you have anything to wrap up, Jackson, before we?
No. About like I said, I think they have a good opportunity to add a lot of innings in the Rule 5 this year.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next. This should be our longest conversation here for tonight's agenda.
Pushing the agenda.
We're looking at the 2026 outlook, and I gave Jackson a lot of our prospects coming up and give us a little outline of what their baselines can be or what he's projecting for 2026. I'll let you take it away, Jackson. I want you to go with the pace that you researched, and I don't want to direct you in any way, so go ahead and take it.
Yeah, the first guy I want to talk about, number one guy in the system, is Brayden Montgomery. I loved this guy coming out of A&M, and I was pretty stoked when the White Sox got him. I thought he got a lot of value there for him. From everything I'm hearing, I think there's a good chance he ends up starting the year in AAA unless he breaks camp. But with the whole contract situation, I think it's starting the year in AAA. From everything that I kind of see with him, the swing and miss is a little bit of a concern for me, but I think he could step into the roster right now and be 15 homers, 15 steals, 20 doubles guy. I think he's got potential to have, as you just mentioned, a big slug guy. I think he can, you know, do that. I think he can main center field pretty good as well. Like, I really like Montgomery. I think he'll be on the roster by June or July. And I think at the absolute latest, they wait till like August, September to call him up to do the whole not paying for a year type thing. But I have a feeling that if he starts there in AAA, he's going to just kind of go off and kind of force their hand and make the White Sox call him up. I really like Montgomery. I think at the baseline, you're getting a good defensive outfielder who can, you know, get the 15 homers, 15 stolen bases, 20 doubles right away.
And I'm actually curious because he was predominantly a right fielder, you know, since the trade. But if you looked at the numbers last year, he started most games in center field last season. He started 72 games, if I remember right, out of, I think, 68 games in right field. So he's got the versatility for both, but it looks like they're trying to project him to go to center field with potentially Robert being traded. So, which ultimately, me, I'm a guy like, hey, if you're going to be, you know, throwing money in a free agency, go and give it to Tucker, put him in right field, put Brayden in center. And that's a dynamic duo out there. Are the White Sox going to do that? Probably not, but that's what I would do if I was a owner, you know, in a market like Chicago. But go ahead and continue, Jackson.
Yeah, the next guy I got is Sam Antonucci. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Antonucci, there we go. Yeah. This was a guy that, of all the guys I looked at, I think he might be the most MLB-ready, but I think he has the lowest – ceiling of a lot of the prospects. He's a guy that the plate discipline numbers are just, they're unreal. Strikeout to walk ratio is almost 1-to-1. He doesn't chase, he doesn't whiff a whole lot, but the homer numbers, he's never gonna hit 20 homers in a year, and if he does, it's probably gonna be right at 20. Not a big pop guy, but I love the strikeout to walk numbers. I mean, I think this is a guy, he can come up and get in that lineup right away and make an impact. And I mean, I think this is your seven hole hitter for the next 5 to 10 years. I mean, I'm a big fan of him. Like I said, those strikeout to walk numbers, you don't see that at the minor league level a whole lot.
Could you see him as the leadoff hitter for, you know, a team like the Sox?
I could definitely see it. I could definitely see him as a leadoff guy. I would say if they bring him up right away, they'll probably drop him in the lineup to get his feet wet.
I would agree because the White Sox have a hole in that area of the lineup too. Mm-hmm. So he can definitely fill that niche, especially considering the fact that what you just said, Jackson, he's the most major league ready, but look at Chase Meidroff. Chase Meidroff is major league ready too, but his ceiling is definitely lower than most.
Yes.
So you got an opportunity to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
Think about this. Antonucci leads off, Meidroff hits seventh. It's an even trade off while you're developing somebody potentially that's more productive in a position in a lineup of need.
Yeah, I agree. Next guy I want to talk about, Noah Schultz. This guy's unreal. The slider is one of my favorite pitches in baseball. I'm a big numbers guy. I'm a pitching guy. That slider is borderline unhittable. The question with Schultz is never going to be the stuff. It's going to be the command. It's going to be if he can keep the walk numbers down to a lower spot. I think this year, if I had to bet, they're going to do the White Sox special of get him in the bullpen to start the year and see what happens, or start or get him in AAA as a starter. For me, I think they should start him off in the big leagues as a reliever. I think he can be a high strikeout guy right now in an MLB bullpen. The stuff is that good. And I think you just kind of you work your way with him. If he's pitching good in a bullpen, you can maybe start transitioning him to a starter June, July, August, see how it's going out for him. But I love Schultz. I think this is the year you kind of got to get his feet wet at the MLB, whether that be as a reliever or start him in AAA as a starter, then slowly work him up to the big leagues from there. But I think it's a guy we got to see him in the big leagues this year. I love Schultz. That slider is something special.
Yeah, I'm at that point where, I mean, before the Braden trade, he was my number one prospect. Since Braden's here, he's now my number two. But I just think that kid is – his ceiling is what he's going to make it. I really thought he was the best left-handed pitcher in MLIB, you know, beginning from last season. You know, I thought he was ahead of, you know, everybody at the time. And then he had an amazing 2024. And then 2025, he has that knee flare up and messes everything up. And next thing you know, and I had this conversation with, I think it was Eric Cross, I think I had the conversation on Twitter with. I'm like, he was your top 40, and then you don't even have him in your top 100? I'm like, that's insane. All because of a knee issue. And I just thought it was bizarre, but at the end of the day, like, sure, he has to prove it, but he's so young that I'm like, what is there, like, why doubt him, you know, with the stuff that he has? But I think you still, like, I agree with you with what you said, but at the same time, I'm at that point where with the age of him, time's on your side to be patient with that kid. I do think, though, with what you said, if he goes out in spring training and is killing it, then yeah, you're on pace for what you just said. However, if he goes in spring training and is like the knee's healthy, but you can see that yes, the fastball slider is getting hitters, but at the same time, he hasn't found that third pitch, and you're like, all right, we got to work on that third pitch. Then, all right, start him in AA.
That's to say.
Let him work on that third pitch and then slowly build him for next year or after the strike, you know, whenever the baseball starts up again. But you got time on your side. I think at the end of the day, though, that ceiling is very high. So yeah, I agree with what you said.
I'm not going to lie. Coming out of spring training, if I'm Brian Bannister, somebody who controls the movement of Noah Schultz, is he still missing arm side high on the changeup? Is he still spiking his changeup? Can he get strike one with his slider? Like, these are the boxes he got to check, because that's ultimately going to keep his pitch count down, because the whiff stuff will always be there. But can you steal strikes? Can you preserve yourself? Because I'm not going to lie, when I watch Connelly early for the Boston Red Sox, he got lit up by Oakland. But what else? Like, all of the starts, I've seen a mature pitcher. That's a very valuable arm for the Boston Red Sox right now. I think Noah Schultz is better. I think his ceiling is higher because he can take the bat out of your hand, but he has to start helping himself out. I feel like hopefully we get into spring and it's March 16th and he got 8 strikeouts on 62 pitches and his day is done, and we could get on the internet and celebrate and do laps, because we'll understand that the stuff is matching up with the guy that we think he is. Because everything that we talked about in regards to what's an obstacle in his place or a hindrance, he can overcome that in a very short amount of time. He has the talent. He just got to get in a pitcher's rhythm, because you don't want to be in a situation to where you predetermine a time to call him up and he just walks 6 in 10 innings. Like, you don't want to be around that timeline.
Agreed. Yeah, the next guy I have is Hagan Smith. As you can see above me, I'm born in Arkansas. I'm still an Arkansas fan.
Oh, that's your boy, huh?
Yeah, I've been on Hagan for a while now. He's such a fun arm. He's like, to this day, one of my favorite left-handed college arms I've seen. Just dominated in college. And I thought when the White Sox drafted him, it was such a slam dunk pick. I thought he should have gone higher in that draft, to be honest with you. But I thought that was such a slam dunk pick. And he's looked the part so far. He's looked like a good pitcher. I think this year, start him AA, AAA, let him slowly work his way up. I could see him making the roster this year, but I could also see the White Sox, you know, being patient with him and seeing what happens. I also see a world where in 4 years the White Sox are in the wild card game and Hagan Smith is your closer. I can see that world as well. I'm so high on Hagan Smith. I think the stuff is awesome. The fastball's electric. That arm slot is just – it's gross. But I think they'll take it a little slow with him this year. But, I mean, there's a good chance he does kind of like the – if you remember a couple of years ago with Paul Skenes where the Pirates were trying to wait on him, he just kept dominating. They had to call him up. I see a world where it's like the middle of June and Hagan Smith has a, you know, 2-5 year ERA in AAA, and the White Sox are kind of like, crap. I mean, we got to get him up here.
I mean, he's only striking out 11 per nine. that's some CJ Wilson type starter as your closer in the playoffs.
The only nothing on Hagan, but the only reason I wouldn't have drafted him for that at that slot is just because of Connor Griffin being in that draft.
That's true.
And what this team could look like if you were able to. Hey, this is hindsight, right? But let's just say the Sox get number one and draft Rock. A world that you got Rock and Connor Griffin in your same system. Like, I think that's with Bray Montgomery and everybody else. Like, that's just
unfair.
That puts you at a different level, especially if you are a rookie GM that did better on that Cease deal. There's many parts of this where Getz didn't nail moves, but at the same time, he did put you in a better position than other GMs have in our history. But I'll let you continue on because I know we got a couple more other guys here.
Hold on, wait. Are you giving Chris Getz credit?
For some things, yeah. like for example, last year's draft with Carlson and Fauci, those two, I thought those selections for their slot selections, I thought were the best talents that you could have possibly drafted. Also, the Crochet deal. Those are two good things he did. But again, I just said, mentioned the two things that he didn't nail.
All right, my bad. So, what was I thinking, Gonzo?
And last show, if I remember right, I gave him a C+ for that reason. Okay. So, sorry, continue on, Jackson.
Yeah, the next guy we kind of talked about was Kyle Teal. This is another guy that I've been a Teal fan for a while. I like the bat to ball skills. I like the plate discipline. I'm not sure how high the ceiling is for him. He had some problems getting consistent barrels and hard hits last year from a bunch of the data I looked into. But, I mean, I think it's a guy, he's a pretty decent catcher. I think we can kind of book him in next year to kind of like the 750, 800 OPS mark. The plate discipline is awesome. Doesn't chase out of the zone a whole lot. Walks a whole lot. I mean, this is honestly a guy, he doesn't have the speed, but he can kind of be a pseudo leadoff hitter a little bit with kind of how doesn't walk a whole lot.
I love watching Kyle Teal run the bases. I love because he's such a sound baseball player. As a guy that I know on TV, right? I've seen him play in real life. I know you're not that fast. How are you scoring from first on a traditional double? Oh, because you got a good jump. Oh, you had a good secondary lead. Oh, you're cutting the pillows perfectly. Kyle Teal is my favorite player on the team right now. The last time I had a favorite player on the team, it was Yohan fucking Mercado. Okay. Kyle Teal. Hey, don't laugh at me. Yeah, you people don't laugh at me. I love you, Makata. But Kyle Teal is one of them guys, Jackson. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
I need 500 at bats from Kyle Teal this year.
Yeah, I like him.
That was the way I would have started this offseason. I would have gave Kyle Teal a contract extension. That would have sent a message to what you're building on. Hey, if you're going to, because I thought he was, with what he put with the WRC plus last season in those 70, what, eight games was it? Or 72 games, I think it was, that he had. He put up with 125 plus, was it, or something like that?
Yeah.
So, and he's the heart and soul of that clubhouse, and you see that amongst the guys, and I thought that would have been a great way to start things off and give him that contract extension and allow the offseason to go.
Yeah, he was 125. 125 was the number I just looked. Yeah,
I'm a man of my numbers.
shut up.
Go ahead, Jax.
The last guy you gave me to talk about was Colson Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy who, I mean, last year the defense and the pop were pretty off the charts. I think he kind of established himself as like a 2-3 war guy at the minimum, with the ability to be, you know, an all-star level guy. I think you're getting 20-plus homers out of him next year pretty easily, with upside to get to that. I mean, he can get 30, 40 homers in a year. I think he has that in the tank. I think everybody knows that. He does still have some plate discipline stuff that he needs to clean up. He's chasing a lot of the zone. He's whiffing a lot. The chase out in the zone kind of got a little bad at the end of the year. But I love Montgomery. One of the more toolsy guys. The defense and the pop is just absolutely awesome. Such a fun player to watch. He was probably my favorite White Sox to watch last year.
We drafted Billy Carlson, Jackson. So what we going to do when it comes time to have that discussion? Is Colson Montgomery your shortstop still? Or is he profiling as your third baseman of the future?
He's going to left field.
Stop!
I'm more in the market of, that's a good problem to have. Let's cross the bridge when we get there.
My man. I think he's going to be a left fielder.
No, Gonzo.
Because Rock is going to be at third.
Yeah, he is.
I swear to God, if this doesn't happen, I'm blocking you on all accounts. If we don't end up with that kid from UCLA, we're done.
No, hold up. We'll get there, because I think it's not as bad as people think. It's a very strong class.
Yes.
All right.
But yeah, like at the end of the day, like it's a good problem for Will Venable to have if all these prospects hit and get developed. And then you start loading up position players, because we haven't seen that as a White Sox organization, them developing position players. So things are looking on the up right now. One last thing before we move on, Jackson. Did you mention what you think his slash line could be, like a baseline?
For Colson?
Yeah.
Yeah, give me like 2 seconds here.
Yeah. Go ahead.
As long as that on base over 330, I'll take it.
So as he waits, we're going to transition shortly to our top five, our early top five rankings for the 2026 draft, which the draft lottery is tomorrow. And truthfully, I think if the Sox land 1-4, I would be really happy. If it's five, I'm going to be one of the most pissed off people on Twitter tomorrow. But that's where, because I really feel it drops from four, at least from like your pristine talents in this class. And I'll put my ranking up there, and then I'll allow Jackson to go through his. But go ahead. Sorry, Jackson. You ready?
Yeah. I can kind of see Montgomery next year. If he can get to that like 250 batting average number, I think that'd be awesome. I think he'll sit more around the 240 mark, which is where he was at last year. Okay. If he can clean up the plate discipline stuff, get a little bit more walks, get that on-base percentage closer to that 330 mark that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. I think the slug was at 529 next year. I think we could see it at 550. I think he's going to
– Damn!
I think he's going to slug the shit out of the ball. I think he's
That's
gonna
a 900 OPS season you're scratching at.
Yeah, I think he's going to slug the shit out of the ball. I'm a big Colson guy.
Wow. So we found Benintendi's replacement. I love it.
You're blocked, Gonzo. I swear to God. You're blocked. You're literally going to have to use a burner to talk to me the rest of our friendship. And that can be a long time.
Longer than Braggs, right?
Shut up.
Alrighty, let's transition to.
He does give us that 890 OPS season.
All right, I'll move these tickers out of the way. I've got obviously at one, we got Rock Trelwisky out of UCLA. Two, I got Grady Emerson, a high school prep kid. I think the kid's a stud. He's a lefty. He's got all the tools as well.
More power than Antonucci?
Stop it. Yes. Number three.
I don't know.
Number three is the best outfielder in the class, and Drew Burris. I have him at three ahead of the next shortstop just because of the talent that he is. Even though it's an outfielder, I would still put him at three. I've seen one of our friends of the show, Nate Rasmussen, that just got hired at Just Baseball Media. He has Drew at two, right behind Rock. So he's in that range for sure. And then at four, I got Justin LeBron. And then five is the first pitcher off the class is Cameron Flukie. But that's my top five. So go ahead, Jackson, take it away and how you see it.
Yeah, so I just kind of did my five favorite college guys because I have a bunch of college data I have access to, so I just kind of went that route. Sure. My number one clear-cut player in the class is Rock. This is flat-out one of the better shortstop prospects out of college I feel like we've seen in a while. 23 homers last year, hit 353, 480, 710 slug last year. And the most impressive part for him, 9% strikeout rate, 14% walk, 18% whiff, 24% chase. This is one of the best plate discipline guys. One of the best plate discipline guys we've seen in a while with that pop combo. I think he can stick it short as well. But I think there's a good chance he ends up moving like a third or a second, but I think he could stick it short. But that combination of pop and plate discipline, we do not see that with college shortstops that much. That's borderline unreal.
We're looking at a Bo Bichette.
Yes, I think it's that caliber, if not. Like, I think that whiff chase, keeping it low, not striking out with the pop he has. I mean, 480 on base, 710 slug. I mean, I'm all in on this guy. He's one of my favorite prospects in a while. the next guy I want to talk about is Justin LeBron. He has a lot of similar things to Rock. He slugs a lot, steals more bases, but the whiff and chase is a little bit higher, which is a little bit more of a concern. But I think the raw power is unreal. He has a really good arm at short as well. I think it's another guy that can stick it short. But if he can cut down the chase and the whiff, I think he could be an awesome prospect as well. The next guy I want to talk about is he might end up being my favorite outfielder in the class, LSU guy Derek Curley, one of those. He's a draft eligible sophomore. Last year, his freshman year at LSU, hit 345 with a 4.7 on base, seven homers, 20 doubles, 6'2". So I think he's got a lot more pop in the bat. Didn't whiff it or chase at all. High walk guy. I think it's another guy that has an elite plate discipline. I think the power is going to step up a lot in his sophomore year. We see that a lot in college. Power surges in the second year for guys like that. And then my favorite pitcher in the class, you brought him up, Cameron Flukie, 3.19 ERA last year, 30% strikeout rate to 6% walk rate. The curveball, 46% whiff last year, 6'6", 210, massive guy, needs a more consistent third pitch, but his fastball and curveball are both electric. And then the last guy I want to talk about was Florida pitcher Liam Peterson. 4.3 ERA last year, 3.6 FIP, 33% whiff last year. Another guy, great fastball slider, 41% whiff, 6.5, 220. Another Haas. I think he's going to be a hot pick as well, a power pitcher.
So you want all tight ends to go in the first round. Got it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of draft. I'm a big fan of, like, drafting the big guys and figuring it out from there.
Especially if they're pitchers, because I feel like if you're anything taller than 6'3" and you got a curveball with some velocity, you got a chance.
Yeah.
Because once you started changing the eye level and getting downhill, it's over with. And I'm not going to lie. a low-key move that the Angels made with Alek Manoah, if he could just clean some things up and get some confidence back, they might have hit the biggest lick of the offseason. Literally. Because I don't I know this is a little bit off topic, but this just flashed in my mind. We was talking about big pitchers. Like, what do you think happened to Alek Manoah? Because obviously he got hurt, but the repertoire is still the same. The movement's still the same. Do you think it was like a confidence thing, like a shock to the system? Like, what happened? He fell completely off the map. I don't know.
It's a question I would love to talk to Nate about when we have him on again.
Slide in Nate's DMs real quick about Alek Manoah.
But we'll definitely get a lot of people on in Jackson again. Anything else you want to discuss about this class?
No,
or,
I just think
or actually this. How about obviously if the Sox land one, they're taking Rock. But let's just say that they do fall in the next three. Do you think where do you think the fits would be best for them?
It just kind of depends what their how these guys end up panning out, because obviously far away. But I really like Flukie at Coastal. I think he's going to improve a lot this year. They have a really good pitching department there, really good track record of making pitchers a lot better. I think he's going to take that step forward. It's a guy who needs a more consistent third pitch. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him opening day at college come out with a gross third pitch. I have a feeling he's going to end up even higher at boards as the season goes on. And then, I mean, Justin LeBron would be a pretty good little consolation prize at shortstop if you can't get Rock. The power's unreal, just awesome guy. I think 2020 upside for LeBron. I think that would be a pretty fun pick in that for the White Sox as well.
And I really think that they're in a stage where it really
imagine the Chicago LeBron jersey. Like, that would be wild.
They're in a stage where, in their window at least, like, they can go either way with high school prep or, a college eligible, or, a college guy, and Rock or LeBron. So, I'm excited either way, but I agree with you. Like, those would be good guys because it kind of jumps the page a little bit if you go with, Rock or LeBron there. Both will be up relatively soon.
Agreed.
I like that. We're gonna wrap things up here. We're gonna go right into our closeout segment. You'll just follow our pace here, and then we'll wrap the show up. And Jay, you know how this works. You start it off, bud.
So, oh boy, because this is gonna be a toughie, Gonzo, and we shouldn't have any problems giving out shout outs. But first of all, got to give a shout out to Asia. She's got a birthday coming up on Friday. I'm going to take her to a nice dinner, probably tuck my shirt in, not check my phone as much. Couple of selfies. I'm going to get cleaned up a little bit, Jackson. It's the love of my life's birthday. We're going to have a good time. Got to give a shout out to her. She's been working so hard all calendar. I'm glad we could slam December and the rest of the year shut with some good vibes. I got to give a shout out to the Blackout because, like, I've been needing my baseball fix. Like, the White Sox literally only – what did we win, 62 games last year, Gonzo? 63? What was that? Either way.
63,
I shouldn't be thirsty to talk about a team like this. Why am I literally refreshing my phone to see when's the next time the Avengers going to assemble? So I got to give a shout out to the Blackout.
Oh, no, it was – yeah. What was it? It was 61, right?
Okay, we won 61 games at the end of the day. I'm happy we're recording and having this conversation. And last but certainly not least, Jackson, I got to give you a shout out because, like I said, talking beforehand, like, I'm not a numbers guy, but the way you articulated these players who I'm pretty sure we never heard of, but they're going to make a name for themselves because Jackson Scudder said so. You know what I'm saying? He understands what it takes to make a good baseball player. Like, we talk shop. No complicated stuff.
It was 60. Great.
Okay, so now Gonzo has literally destroyed the White Sox win total when I'm trying to say nice things about good people. So let me just wrap it up. Thank you for joining. Like, it's been great. I cannot wait to have you back again.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Nigel, your pick.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
Wow.
First, shout out my fiance, Soraya. She nailed day one finals, nailed both exams, a good start to her week. And we're celebrating, well, I guess it's an anniversary weekend.
What?
Because I proposed this time last year in New York City. So she posted a little reel she put together today. So that was awesome to see.
She likes you.
And then the wedding. The wedding. The wedding is next year, next December. So December 12th, actually. So Justin saved the date.
What do you mean?
That will come soon too. You're gonna get something in the mail eventually.
You sending me anthrax for your wedding invite?
Yes. And shout out whoever gave me the flu last week. God bless you. I don't know who it was, but you nearly killed me. if it wasn't last night's or Green Bay Packers, it was definitely the flu. That one of the two was going to kill me.
I didn't want to wake up this morning, bro.
I know, I didn't either. What else have I got? Shout out Slav. He update. Our co-host, Jackson, you haven't met him, but he's our Siberian monster. Steph is 29 weeks pregnant. That's just such a beautiful pick that he took earlier. Shout out to you, Slavko, if you're watching still. Trying to think of anything else I got here.
I'm not gonna. Good seeing Slavko happy, man. Because about the Sox. Like talking about the Sox and then getting irritated with Gonzo, the man used to just turn red for about an hour and a half, bro. So I'm glad. I'm literally glad that my man is enjoying his time, man.
All right,
That's all I got for a shout out. So Jackson, give me your list of what you got going.
I'll go shout out Tony Pollard, Titans running back, for making me actually care about Titans football for the first time. It feels like 2 years. I'll give a shout out to Chipotle. I've had that for like three meals in the past week.
Ooh.
Absolutely love Chipotle. Just want to give them a little shout out. I'll give my last shout out to you guys. I really appreciate y'all having me on. I love talking ball with y'all. I had a great time doing research for this and just digging into some numbers. So I really appreciate y'all having me on.
Oh no, it's been great, bro.
We definitely gotta get you on again. Maybe right before after pitchers catchers break camp, maybe we can get you on around that time and talk a little MLB and everything else. But real quickly before we end the show here, let us know where our followers can follow you at and give us all the breakdown of your socials and everything.
Yeah, so my personal Twitter is jscud23. I post a lot of MLB analysis content on there, a lot of breaking down pitchers. I do a whole bunch of stuff on there, and I do a lot of work for Baseball Unstitched podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Base Unstitched. I release episodes once a week. I work with two great guys over there. Both of those accounts on Twitter, jscud23, Base Unstitch. You'll see a lot of work from me on there, both of those.
Okay. And that was your Baseball Unstitched, yep.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, Jay, you got anything else before we wrap it up here?
To be honest with you, I'm glad I clicked on Jackson's profile, because that Christopher Sanchez porn he got pinned on there is great. Love the change-up metrics, by the way.
Yes.
One of the best change-ups I've seen. So, yeah. I mean, Gonzo, to be honest with you, like I said, I was just happy to talk ball. Like, it's been my life has been overloaded with football to the point to where I even forgot I like baseball. And I'm glad we're back here.
Yep. Well, please, everybody, like, share, follow our content. next show is probably going to be late January. We're going to have on Jay's uncle next time. And actually, both our uncles are going to come onto the show next time. So
what type of family reunion?
It's going to be a weird family reunion. We're going to have
Don't tell me that. I'm like,
yeah, it's going to get weird. It's going to get weird. That's all I'm going to say.
No.
But that's when our next show will be. So please follow us again as we come back in a month from now. And tomorrow night, draft lottery. Tune in. Hopefully, Sox.
LeBron.
Hopefully, Sox land the number one pick, and all comes down to Pope Leo. It's all on to you, boss. So thank you again for watching The Blackout.